You know what the difference between a chicken and a turkey is? Chickens celebrate Thanksgiving. Eddie in Dallas calls his son in New York just before Thanksgiving and tells him, "I'm sorry to tell you, son, but your mother and I, we're going to get a divorce. I just cannot take any more for complaining. Right now, we can't even stand the sight of each other. I'm telling you first, Eddie, because you're the eldest, and please tell your sister." When Eddie calls his sister, Julie, she says, "No way are they getting divorced. I will go over there and see them for Thanksgiving and make sure that doesn't happen." Julie phones her parents and tells them both, "You must not get divorced. Promise you won't do anything until I get there. I'm calling Eddie and we'll both be there with you tomorrow. Until then, don't take any action. Please listen to me." And then she hangs up. The father puts the phone down, turns to his wife and says, "Good news. Eddie and Julie are coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." So as a parent, I understand that. I do hope we all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know we did. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving as well. Thanksgiving is, other than the Feast of Tabernacles, it's one of my most favorite time of the year. It's a time for family, unfortunately, it's time for eating a lot. It's like every 2 hours, it's time to eat again around our house. We seem to do that. But it's a time that we give thanks, what Mr. Cousy was talking about today. We give thanks for, yes, all the physical blessings we have, but also the spiritual blessings that we have. And we give thanks to our God, our Father in heaven, who gives us everything that we have. Giving thanks, being thankful, it's a wonderful attribute to have. It is interesting, though, when you read that, it's not listed in the gifts of the Spirit. Being thankful. They all kind of combine together like that, but it's another subject for another time. I thought it'd be interesting. But being thankful, showing gratitude, is something that sometimes can be lacking in our lives. You know, we have the day set aside. It's a national day set aside. And I like to go to Facebook and everybody, thank you for this. But you know, in this world, sometimes we don't see a lot of gratitude. If anybody's been listening to the news at all, we live in a world that's divided. It's separate. There's negativity all around. One side hates another side. We have liberals. We have conservatives. We have Democrats. We have Republicans. We have black. We have white. We have Georgia. We have Alabama. That's more of a football thing, but still, it's a problem. But people are so easily angered today and not so easily thankful. Sometimes we focus on what makes us different instead of focusing on what makes us the same. You know, when we focus on the negative, we have stress, we have anxiety, and sometimes we focus on the things, again, that make us different. When we focus on gratitude, I think we see things differently. I was reading an article, it's called "The Neuroscience of Why Gratitude Makes Us Healthier" by Ocean Robbins, and it's about being thankful and showing gratitude. Being thankful actually helps us feel better. It makes us healthier. I'm going to read from the article. It says, "Negative attitudes are bad for you, and gratitude, it turns out, makes you happier and healthier. If you invest in a way of seeing the world that is mean and frustrated, you're going to get a world that is mean and frustrated. But if you find an authentic reason to give thanks, anything that is going right with the world or your life, and put your attention there, then statistics say you're going to be better off. Gratitude works when you're grateful for something real. What are you actually grateful for? It's a question that could change your life. Recent studies have concluded that the expression of gratitude can have profound and positive effects on our health, on our moods, and even the survival of our marriage. As Drs. Blair and Rita Justice reported for the University of Texas Health Science Center, a growing body of research shows that gratitude is truly amazing in its physical and psychosocial benefits. In one study on gratitude conducted at the University of California at Davis and at the University of Miami, randomly assigned participants were given one of three tasks. Each week, participants kept a short journal. One group briefly described five things every week that they were grateful for that occurred in the past week. Another five recorded daily hassles from the previous week that displeased them. And the neutral group was asked to list five events or circumstances and not to focus on either negative or positive. 10 weeks later, participants in the gratitude group felt better about their lives as a whole and were 25% happier than the hassle group. They reported fewer health complaints and exercised an average of 1.5 hours more just from being happy, positive, of being thankful. In a later study, people were asked to write every day about things for which they were grateful. Not surprisingly, this daily practice led to greater increases in gratitude than the weekly journaling in the first study, but the results showed another benefit. Participants in the gratitude group also reported offering others more emotional support or help with personal problems, indicating that the gratitude exercise increased their goodwill toward others. And I find that amazing. The more thankful you are for your life and the things in your life, the more you want to help other people be happy. There's an old saying that if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. The article concluded with giving us a couple points to follow. Number one, keep a daily journal of three things you're thankful for. And number two, make a practice to tell a spouse, partner, or friend something you appreciate about them every day. So, you know, we see that being thankful actually helps us make us feel better. We become healthier. We're happier when we give thanks. I think we also make people happier when we give them thanks, when we appreciate things that they do. You know, we celebrate our National Day of Thanksgiving on Thursday. You know, we can trace the history of our national practice back to the Puritan settlers of New England. The story is that they suffered greatly in founding the nation, the Plymouth Colony. Many of them died that first winter, but in 1621, they reaped a bountiful harvest and proclaimed a three-day festival to celebrate, inviting Indian tribes to join them as they thanked the Creator. Thanksgiving Day became a national day of Thanksgiving by a proclamation by Abraham Lincoln in the midst of the Civil War. I found three of those proclamations: October 3rd, 1863, October 20th, 1863, October 20th, 1864. But I was looking at email and on the web, and I noticed that Mike Bannon posted one from October 3rd, 1863, so I thought that better be the one I read at church. I don't want to have to question him later. But in 1863, Abraham Lincoln wrote these words: "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well as iron and coal, as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege in the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in heaven. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which they are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, this third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1863, by President Lincoln. And it's amazing that this man, in the midst of a horrible, violent war where brothers and cousins were killing each other, he recognized the blessings of God. And I never, you know, until I read this, I didn't even think about, you know, the rest of the nation was still prospering. God was still blessing the United States even through the terrible times. The nation was growing. And he recognized that and wanted to make sure that we gave thanks. And he knew where the source was. And the source is obviously is God Almighty. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, during this time, God was still blessing. He was doing his part to this nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is a very, very familiar scripture. 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, if only as a nation, we as a people would do that, would recognize God, give him thanks for all that he has done for us. You know, when we do thank God, and I know in our lives and as a nation, we thank God usually in times of abundance. When things are going good, we thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We thank God in times of abundance. Sometimes we forget to thank him for always being who and what he is. Even when we don't have abundance. Even when we're going through maybe a rough time. You know, there's an article written by Dr. Frank Dunkel. He wrote an article on Thanksgiving. And it was about the first Thanksgiving and about the Puritans. And Frank writes, "You see, they, the Puritans, never checked the calendar in November to determine when it was time for Thanksgiving. They looked around them at their circumstances and determined if they should humble themselves and seek God's mercy or if they should offer him their humble thanks. Those Puritan founders of New England were very serious about how they worshiped. They did not celebrate annual saints days or holidays, including Christmas and Easter, because they were not biblical. Instead, in addition to the weekly day of worship, the Puritans on occasion proclaimed days of fasting and supplication to God or days of celebration and thanksgiving, based solely on the blessings, or lack thereof, that God sent them. Interestingly, the American forefathers did not insist on great abundance as a cause for proclaiming thanks to God. In November of 1662, the colonial government of Massachusetts declared a day of thanksgiving to God for sparing such a part of the fruits of the earth whereby man and beast may be sustained. Many years later, it demonstrated the extent to which it is possible to give thanks for having just the minimum, when in 1680, its proclamation of a Thanksgiving holiday praised God because he, quote, hath not given us cleanliness of teeth and want of bread in all places. And cleanliness of teeth is a biblical metaphor for famine. So he's thanking God for not having a famine, that we just have enough to get by. It's easy to be thankful for a table full of turkey, stuffing, pies, and other treats. Can we also learn to thank God when he gives us just enough to get by? You know, do we acknowledge him for that? Do we acknowledge God and thank him for just having enough? And I know it's difficult to do sometimes, because we want to give thanks to God when we have abundance, and sometimes do we give him thanks just for getting us up in the morning, helping us through the day? Are we thankful? It reminds of a story. Two friends met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. He asked his friend, he said, what has the world done to you, my old friend? The sad fellow said, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago my uncle died and left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. But you see, 2 weeks ago a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000, free and clear. Sounds to me like you've been blessed. You don't understand, he interrupted. Last week my great aunt passed away. I inherited almost $250,000 from her. Now the man's friend was really confused. Then why do you look so glum? The man said, well, this week, nothing. He was not thankful for having enough or too much. We've been given so much more than just physical blessings and a great nation to live in. Now, don't get me wrong, these are truly great and wonderful blessings to be thankful for. And we should be thanking God every day for those blessings. But we really do have more to be thankful for. God has called us out of this world. Out of this world that just right now it's filthy. I mean, it's just so ugly out there. And God has called us out of that. He's given us hope. You know, we've been back for the feast, 4, 5, 6 weeks now, where we celebrated so much wonderfulness, so much future. And now this world, it can encompass you. And we've been called out of that. God gave us his son. He gave us his son that died for us, gave his life for us so that we could have life. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, you can turn to 1 Chronicles 16:8, or you can turn to Psalm 105:1. Doesn't matter, because they both say the same thing. 1 Chronicles 16:8 or Psalm 105:1. I'll just read it. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. This is thanking God, being thankful for God, and then letting what he's done known among the people. We should be giving thanks to God and sharing that with other people. So thankful for what he has done for us. You know, my wife found an article in our Marietta newspaper that was written. It's a column written, questions and answers written to Billy Graham. And I apologize today for all the reading, but I had to. But it goes as follows. It's a question. I am in fifth grade, and I have to write a paper in class about Thanksgiving. Did people in Bible times have Thanksgiving? Answer. And remember, this was Billy Graham, or at least his foundation. Yes, people in the Bible did celebrate Thanksgiving. Not just once a year, as we do, but several times throughout the year. Their purpose wasn't just to get together and enjoy a special meal, but to thank God for his blessings to them. The Bible says, give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Psalm 104 and 5. Same verse that Mr. Cousy read today. Verses. In the Old Testament, this is Billy Graham speaking. In the Old Testament, the people celebrated several times of Thanksgiving, usually called feasts or festivals. Three were especially important: Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread in early spring, thanking God for their deliverance from slavery, and for the beginning of the barley harvest. The Feast of Weeks in early summer, thanking God for the beginning of the wheat harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, thanking God for the end of the harvest season. God told them, be joyful at your festival, for the Lord your God will bless you. Although times have changed, as you and your family gather in a few days for Thanksgiving, may each of you, like those ancient Israelites, sincerely thank God for his blessings to you. Not only has he given you your family, he's also blessed you with many other things, far beyond what most people in the world will ever possess. Most of all, God has blessed us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our salvation. He is God's greatest gift. The Bible says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's 2 Corinthians 9:15. And I find it amazing that Billy Graham, you know, Mr. Sunday, uses God's holy days to answer a Thanksgiving question. He's read them. He's gone over them. He knows about the harvest, all the harvest in there. And he says it's a great time to gather together to celebrate and thank God. But then he stops. I'm assuming he stopped. He didn't read. But we know he doesn't keep the holy days as we do. It's just kind of amazing that they're in there, and this man who studies the Bible, he's read that. Now we know, and not that we're special. I hate when I say that, because we are special. God called us, so we're special. But we know God's holy day plan is special for us. God set them aside for us to come together and worship Him. And there are days of thanksgiving. We're thankful for God's plan. We're thankful that we know God's plan. We're thankful that we're a part of God's plan. We're thankful that we understand and believe that God's plan not only is for us, but it's for the whole world. It's an amazing story. And when I read that, when she brought it home, I just couldn't believe it. It was from Billy Graham. We have so much to be thankful for. More than just a physical harvest. We have a great spiritual harvest. You know, it can be easy just to say thank you. And I know we do that. I do it. You know, people say, hey, hi, and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. But are we really thankful? You know, are we really, really thankful? You know, I hope we took time on Thursday, Friday, now Saturday, Sunday. And really, are we thankful? You know, meditate on being thankful for what we have. The blessings we have are incredible. You know, do we have a deep gratitude for what God the Father has done for us with His Son? And what Jesus Christ, divesting Himself of His glory, has done for us? Are we thankful for the blessings that we sometimes can take for granted? And you know, on a physical level, we're human beings. And maybe this is just me, but I like to be thanked sometimes. Okay, most of the time. But you know, you like to be thanked when you do something. And you say, well, I don't really expect to be thanked, but it's polite to thank people. You know, somebody does something nice for you. You know, by the way, thank you for that. You know, and I know there have been times, well, like, if you're driving in traffic, there's a little bit of traffic here in Atlanta every once in a while. Sometimes people are trying to get on the freeway. You let somebody in, it's like, you know, you do the old, or if it's a guy, you just kind of go. And they know to go. But when they go, and they don't even, like, the guy doesn't, like, nod back, that, I get kind of offended. It's like, dude, I let you in. We like to be thanked. It's just like a little wave would have been into the heart to say, hey, by the way, thank you for that, you know. Maybe that's my carnality, but I'd like to be thanked on things like that. It makes you feel special when somebody appreciates what you do. And my point is, we want to thank God. And again, God is not petty like I am, or can be. God is God. But I do believe that He does like to be thanked. You know, we just read, and I'll read it. We can turn there. We'll read the whole thing. The Psalm 100. This is a song of thanksgiving that David wrote. Psalm 100, verse 1. David writes, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter in His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. David wrote this song, thanking God. And he was a man after God's own heart. And it's printed in here. I believe God enjoys that. The gratitude of what, you know, when He does something. You know, we've been asked by Dr. Ross to write down 25 goals to work on this year. And that's a great thing. And again, please don't be scared. It's just 25 things. Write them down. And I would like to add to that, our homework. It's not homework. But let's write down things that we're also grateful for. You know, write down things that we're grateful for. You remember that there used to be a song in the old gray hymnal, you know, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Remember that song? And that's, I don't know why it's not in the new one, but it's count your many blessings. Count your what we're thankful for. Name them one by one. And I think it's the same thing as we write our goals down, we write a goal down and it imprints into our mind. When we write down what we're thankful for, it imprints that in our minds as well. And go over that and think about it and pray about it. You know, sometimes we have to be reminded of what we're thankful for. You know, I've been married 34 years, Monday. Happily married 34 years. Better say that. She's been happily married about 12. I'm working on it. But, you know, we forget sometimes to say thank you and to show gratitude to the ones we love. You know, every year God gives us these holy days. They come around every year. In the spring, we have the spring holy day, then we have Pentecost, we have the fall. They come around every year. God knows that we need to be reminded of His plan and what He's done for us. And we come and we celebrate. And we're thankful. We should be thankful. Hopefully we're thankful. We can celebrate, but we also need to be thankful for knowing and understanding what He's done for us. You know, God has a plan for each one of us here. You know, He's in charge. And that's nice. He's in charge. We don't have to worry about it. We have to worry about ourselves. We don't have to worry about the whole plan, the whole scheme of things, because God's in charge of that. He's taking care of that. We put our faith, we put our trust in Him. You know, we're reminded each week of the blessing of the Sabbath. You know, He's given us a time to rest. I work with people, Saturday is just another day. You know, I'm so thankful that we have a command, but it's a blessing to take the Sabbath off and to rest and to refocus, to rethink, to remember why we're here. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, me personally, as I mentioned, I'm thankful for my family. To have a family that right now we live close to two of our boys. We have three sons. I'm thankful for that. And I know sometimes we don't think about it. Life happens. But I'm thankful that we have a chance to raise three boys and to be a part of their lives. And I'm thankful for their friends, especially a couple of little special friends that are with them. We're very thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for our friends. You know, we have some good friends that came and visited us from Columbus, Ohio. They're noisy, but it's fun. They're not. I'm just teasing. They're not noisy. We've had a lot of fun. And I'm thankful for our new friends. You know, we've been here, 7 or 8 months in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm thankful for that as well. You know, I'm thankful that we live in a land of the United States of America where we can still worship God. You know, you hear stories from the Feast of Tabernacles, Rome, Italy, other places around the world, India, we saw that video before the feast, where Saturday's a work day. Saturday's a school day. They have to struggle to take off. You know, we live in a country where Saturday's, it's part of the weekend, but it's the day that we can come here and we can worship in peace and in harmony. We're blessed to have that. You know, I'm thankful that America, the United States, even though we have problems, we're still the richest and most generous country on the planet. It's a place where people all over the world want to be. There's not walls around Mexico to get in. And all over Europe, the people that want to come and be a part of the United States, because we have different things here. We have opportunity here. And I'm thankful that God still watches over this land, even though there's sin. And I go back to what Abraham Lincoln said, you know, even in the midst of sin, and he knew what was happening was a result of sin and pain, but God was still blessing the nation. And God still does that. He still protects us. God put us here in this country for a reason, for a purpose. You know, there's a lot of people out there that believe you should apologize for Thanksgiving because we took land from the Indians. No offense. That's a thing for Rachel. But God put us here for a reason. He put us here for a purpose. This land was prepared as a place where God could demonstrate one of His greatest spiritual qualities, His enduring faithfulness. And God fulfilled every detail of the promise made to Abraham, including the fullness of the physical dimension, confirms the fact that God put us here in this country confirms that He will fulfill His spiritual promises as well. God watches over America. And I'm thankful for that. You know, and I'm thankful again just for the plan of God that we live in this great country where we can do a work. There's a freedom to do the work. We can preach the gospel and we're not hindered. Yeah, we're hindered by media. We're hindered by this and that. But basically, we can preach the gospel message. I'm thankful for that as well. You know, one more thing I am thankful for. This goes back in history a little bit, my own personal history. You know, I grew up in the Church of God. I've been doing this all my life, all 35 years. All right, a little more than that. But I remember growing up, there were always people in the church that, you know, there were elders, there were the ministry, but there were people that stand out in my mind, they stand out in my memory, that were special. They went out of their way. You know, we had, you know, I loved to play basketball when I was a kid. We had a coach, Darrell Waterman. At the time, they had no kids. I remember Darrell when he was single, and then he married his wife. You know, Darrell's probably in his late 70s now or whatever, a little older than that. But, you know, it's I remember him sacrificing his time. We'd go to his house to spend the night, and they had, you know, again, the house was not childproof, even for teenage boys. But they gave of their time. They made coming to church special, wonderful, warm. They lived what we teach. I remember another lady. Her name was Betty Bontrager. Betty died about 3 years ago. But Betty was married to a man who died. He had a heart attack early. She had 8 children. I were friends with the younger 4 because the other ones were older. But, you know, we grew up with them, and Betty married a gentleman named Neil Bontrager. He was an old ex-Amish. And when I say he was older, and he came into this family of 8 children. But Betty was such a wonderful lady. She was a mother to, kind of like Paula, who's not here today, but she was a mother to everyone. I remember at her funeral, her son-in-law, he said that, you know, Betty was so special, she treated everyone equally. But you never felt it was equal. You felt you were special. That you were that one special person that Betty loved more than anyone else, even though she had her own kids. But she was such an endearing example at church of a lady that made coming to church special every week. And you wanted to grow up and, you know, I'm a guy, but you wanted to be like her. Have that same Christianity that she believed in. You know, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I had those memories of growing up in the church and having those people be a part of my life. More than just the ministry, but people that cared. People that, you know, that shared their meals, they shared their homes with us, they shared their life with us, and they lived this way of life. And, you know, I hope today, you know, that we can, you know, myself, each one of us here, we can be that memory that someone comes on 15, 20 years from now and says, you know what? I thank Ryan Hall because he listened to me. You know, I thank Kurt. I don't know why, but they just thank Kurt. Good sense of humor. Great guy. No, but they remember you because you looked out, you talked to the children, you talked to the young people, and they said, you know, I still come to church because I love God. But let's face it, our kids come because it's social right now. And they need to have a place to come and be comfortable, to feel a part of, to love, and to get those memories. Because, you know, we have something special here. In the in the United Church of God, in the churches of God, we have something special. We have the truth. And we know. And, you know, we have special in here in Atlanta. We're a small group of people, but believing the same thing. Trying to help Phil and Sarah grow this church. To be a lively, active church. We're blessed to be a part of something special. You know, it's so easy to complain. I'll raise my hand. It's so easy to complain about things. Get nitpicky about this, get nitpicky about that. But instead of complaining, let's show gratitude. Let's be thankful. Because no one's perfect. I've been in many, many churches of God, congregations throughout my life. You know what? I never found a perfect one. Never. It's because we're human beings and we're going to make mistakes. but we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, there's a proverb from the Yoruba people of West Africa, and they say, however far the stream flows, it never forgets its source. However far the stream flows, it never forgets its source. You know, that's a wise proverb. And we cannot forget our true source. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, where we're going to read verses 8, 10 to 14, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, then go down to verse 17, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. We don't want to be that. We remember how much God gives us, and remember that God is the one who gives everything for us and to us. That's not us. God helps. God provides everything. God is our true source. All that we have comes from him. You know, we cannot forget where our blessings come from. Our thanks and our gratitude should go to him. You know, do we spend time every day thanking God for his greatness, for his love, for his son, for his spirit in our lives? You know, are we thankful for his calling? You know, we were told in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'll just read it, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, do we give thanks? Do we make part of our prayer, or a majority, a good portion of our prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving? I know it's easy. I do it. It's so easy to say, you know, you got to pray for this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. I need this, I need this, I need this, and we need this. And do we spend that time saying, thank you, God, for being God? Thank you for all that you do for us. You know, for all that you share with us. Thanksgiving is a wonderful day to give thanks. And I'm glad as a nation that we set it aside. We in the church have so many blessings. We have the blessings of our family and our friends. We have the blessings of our church as a whole organization. And we have the blessing of each congregation. Being thankful has been proven to make us healthier, to make us happier. And we know that we have the true source. That's God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we truly are blessed and we can be thankful. One more scripture, if you turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's give special thanks to one another. Because really, we are so blessed. We're so blessed as a nation. We're so blessed individually. We're so blessed as a church. You know, write down your blessings. Write down why you're thankful. Tell your spouse or special friend. Tell your children how much you appreciate them every day. Let's be thankful to the true source of everything, which is God the Father and Jesus Christ.